What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's a pro. Nick King.
Nick King, okay. If he's in town?
I think so. I've seen pictures of him. Looked like he was at the Shelby Farms restaurant.
Yeah.
What's that fish place you go to all the time? Over there in Shelby Farms. Middle Street.
Oh, Coastal Fish. Yeah. Coastal Fish.
That's right.
No, it's interesting.
I think he was over there.
Anyway, I wish everybody the best of luck for that 5Gs. Is that tax-free? You got to pay tax on that? How's that work?
Man, we didn't ask Willie, did we?
No.
I think in Memphis you can probably get that whole 5K. You don't have to report it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. They tell you when you win the TBT, you know, it gets deposited via Zelle, right? They always say, like, he's going to get 80,000 deposited via Zelle, you know, after the game. And I don't know how – I mean, I think that would just be reportable income. You know, you just got to pay, you know, whatever your tax bracket is on that because it's going to go in there.
Man, what's that going to chop it down to?
In
terms of our take home
on your 80
on that 5K.
Oh, we're not reporting that. That's not getting reported.
And otherwise,
we're committing straight tax fraud on that one. Hey, don't show, don't tell. Type. You know, I don't encourage tax fraud, but for 5,000, I think that would be. Can I get that in cash, please?
Mm-hmm.
Type. You know what I'm saying?
I think Will Chan and Will are good for it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, thanks to Willie Kemp for joining us on the show today. Brett McMurphy is going to join us at 125. We'll talk college football with him, Memphis football, Ryan Silverfield. Lots to get to coming up. Don't miss it. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. Yes.
Leaders Credit Union is here for you. They're here every day for John and myself as our great studio sponsor. We're not just here to spread the word. I'm here as a family member. My young man has a leader, a future leader's savings account. That's right, little Christopher does. We're part of the Leaders family. We love Leaders. They're helping us. They can help you, too, on your financial journey. Off and running with little Chris. He's learning how his money can grow in their savings account. They can help you in terms of a bunch of places. Rates, because they're a credit union. When they make money, it goes back into the credit union. That means back into you and better rates for you on things such as car loans, also things such as HELOCs. Home equity lines of credit can be very good for that bathroom remodel, for that kitchen remodel, whatever you want to do. A lot of folks are deciding, hey, I want to stay home. We're not selling. We can't sell. So let's fix up what we got. You can do that with a HELOC from Leaders. Get all the information at leaderscu.com/ESPN. Leaders is your financial champion for life, and they are federally insured by NCUA.
Brett McMurphy is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him. About Memphis football, college football generally, and just sort of where he thinks this all will go. You know, I saw the latest. I don't know if we've talked about it yet, but they're already talking about like a 2016 playoff.
Sick.
2018.
They're just flat. That is, nobody believes in that mess.
Let's hope not, man. Because you've already like, it's already what, 16 now? It used to be 4. Now it's already out to 16. So, I mean, it blew up pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, so you're already losing the exclusivity.
No, just keep it where it is.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't need to expand it right now, but we will. We'll go to 16.
Of course.
And eventually from there, we'll see.
Yeah, because but these
28's ridiculous.
These Power League schools
want more automatic bids.
That's right. That's exactly.
Bids, excuse me.
Now, yesterday we talked about Bill Barnwell's list of teams that were ready to make a jump.
Because we were among them.
That's right. Well, today he's got 5 teams that are likely to take a step back. And there are some quite interesting names on this list. Chief among them, the Kansas City Chiefs.
The now, kingdom.
When you're 15-2.
The kingdom.
There's only one way to go, realistically, and that's backwards. Unless you stay the same, which I guess is possible. But I think his whole point is, they lived on the edge the entire year last season to get to 15-2. They were 13 games above 500, and their point differential was plus 59. Like, what does that mean? That the margins were razor thin. They were 10-0 in games decided by 7 or fewer. I mean, that's insane. And that's one of those things where year to year in the NFL, games decided by seven or fewer. Next year, they could easily be 3-7.
I think Minnesota's going to find that out.
Right. Now, you're spoiling. One of them. All right? You're spoiling the...
Oh, I didn't mean that in terms of a list. I think they were a bunch of one-score games, too. Yeah. I didn't mean to spoil your list.
But, yeah, he goes through all those, like, you know, all those games that could have gone the other way, right? And so 15-2 looks a lot more like 10-7 or along those lines. And so, you know, I think that's a big part of it. It's also, he says, like, they had a point differential on average of a 10-win team. So, you know, they really lived on the edge here. So I don't think he's predicting the demise by any stretch of the imagination of the Chiefs, but I think he's just saying that they will regress to the mean in terms of a regular season record. Maybe it looks a lot more like 12-5 than it does, you know, 15-2, which any of us on this show would take. You know, you with the Bears, me with the Raiders, Brad with the Cowboys, the Raiders, or like
Titans,
or whoever is on the radio, right? I mean, whoever's the game of the week, that's good, right? Which I respect. I think that's just one of those things where they're still gonna be great. It's just maybe not as great as they looked. Minnesota, we in Minnesota now.
Yes, just look at all the things went right for them last
8-1, not as good as the Kansas City 10-0 record, but 8-1 in games decided by seven or fewer.
Yeah.
And now their projected strength of schedule this year is what? Fourth toughest in the NFL. And they're handing the keys to an unproven second-year quarterback who is coming off an ACL. So, I mean, I don't think it takes a whole lot to break that one down. I mean,
Meniscus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean,
a little bit of a difference there.
No, it is. It is. 14-3 last year. Again, not hard. I mean, that's like the most obvious one. You know, still think they'll be good. They're well coached, whatever.
They could be good, come back, still win the division.
Totally.
If Detroit's taking a step back.
Yes.
Have a worse record, I'm saying, but still win the division.
Yes.
Yes.
Sam Darnold, you know, fell apart at the end, but he was pretty damn good for a lot of the season.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And so, you know, are you going to get that same amount of play? I think that's the big question. So Vikings make sense on this list. How about this? Washington Commanders. 12-5 last year. They were 8-2 in games decided by seven or fewer, and they now get the seventh toughest schedule in the NFL. They did bring in Deebo Samuel. I feel like they added another guy. Maybe it was defense that I'm forgetting right now. But they have added some pieces.
Was it old man Vaughn?
Yeah, Von Miller. Yep, added Von Miller.
He's one of them. There might be another one you're thinking of because I don't think the person you were thinking of was Vaughn. But they did add Vaughn.
I think they...
It feels like there's another one is why I'm saying that.
Yeah, it's going to bother me. Like, I feel like they...
They have to get McLaurin in.
They have
the
to...
The hope is they will.
Yes, they have to figure that out.
They're trading B-Rob.
They brought in Bobby Wagner was maybe the guy I was thinking
of. Well, he was already there.
Oh, was he already there?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
Your boy.
They held on to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's gonna. Maybe they didn't. Maybe I thought they did.
Maybe it's Vaughn. Maybe it is who we think.
It could be. They added a little bit on defense, but you know, again, you look at sort of the defenses that they played last year. I mean, I saw this graphic of Jaden Daniels' competition last year. I mean, it was just insane. A, because the division was so bad.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were a joke. The Giants were a joke. So you get four of those games every year. That accounts for your 12. And then you know you look around at some of the other teams they played. And it just was kind of weak. It was just kind of weak. And this year it will not nearly be as weak with the seventh toughest schedule in the NFL. So, you know, it makes sense. I mean, 12-5 is a pretty damn good record, you know?
Especially in a division with the Eagles.
Because you're not going up.
And Dallas is going to be improved.
And the Giants will be improved.
And Giants, especially on defense, man.
Yeah.
They're going to make it hard on teams to score.
Yeah.
If they just hand it to Jackson Dart, they might even be competitive for three quarters.
Oh, here's the other thing. And I think we talked to Adam Chernoff about this as well. You know, on fourth downs last year, they were 20 of 23.
Mm.
That was their conversion rate.
This is Washington. We're back.
Yeah, 87%.
That's not what happened again.
87%. 14 percentage points better than any other team last season. ESPN has fourth down data going back to 2000. No team has gone for it on fourth down more than 10 times in a season and converted more often than Washington did last year.
More than Detroit. I thought they were the fourth down team.
That's exactly
Washington
right.
Became the fourth down team.
They scored 115 points on those drives when they converted at least one fourth down. So what does that tell you? They were at the craps table, and they just kept rolling sevens on the come out.
So
and eventually, it just does.
Regress to the mean.
Now, they have Jaden Daniels. That's a great place to start. But it's going to come back. It just does.
That Cincy DB that had a free shot at him that just showed how finesse they're going to be again.
Oh,
was,
that Cincy defense.
Was ridiculous last. Did you see the guy had a DB had a free shot on Jaden, and he just gave him like an arm shiver, like they were in a joint practice or something. And
it did
QBs
look like,
were
like
off
he didn't want to hit him. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
I agree.
But it's just indicative. It's just it's symbolic of what that the finesse, the style that Cincy has on defense.
Is it possible that maybe he just didn't want to hit him because it's preseason? That he just was like, have it, just whatever.
Did it look like the Commanders were thinking that when they were slinging down Joe Burrow on the other side?
That's true. That is true.
And you sitting up here letting this dude have a pass? Let's not act like it's a brotherly thing because they used to tear Cam Newton up and they used to tear up Michael Vick.
That's right.
The brothers.
Yeah. They enjoyed
so
it.
So it ain't about giving a brother a pass, that DB on Jaden.
Yeah.
I can't. When your defense is slinging around, the other defense is slinging around Joe Burrow, you get a free shot on him. It just shows Cincinnati no teeth on that side of the ball.
No teeth.
And you won't even bring Hendrickson back. You're asking Burrow to go out there and score on 99% of the drives.
But see, isn't that why? It's
crazy.
Isn't the state of the defense? Like, I know some people were saying this is why you have to bring Trey Hendrickson back. But isn't that why they feel like they don't need to bring him back? Because even if he's out there, it's going to be a disaster.
Understand that there's a difference between you and Kansas City in that they've got a defensive guy locked up.
Yep.
And they didn't spend it on two receivers.
Right.
Right? In fact, it's a tight end, a quarterback, and a defensive tackle, defensive end, whatever you want to call Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all went all in on Burrow. The two receivers are
paid. And they paid Trey Smith. Right, and they paid
Kansas City. Yeah, they just offensive paid, line to protect.
Yeah, that's shown.
Mahomes has to be.
Right.
But my point, they're not built the same. They didn't pay two receivers. All of it's paid. Nothing paid to the defensive side. You won't pay Hendrickson.
Yep.
You know, certainly not Chris Jones money. And then your rookies that you're hoping to do what KC rookies do, they're not stepping up in that same way. So it's not same.
Right.
You can't call yourself, hey, we'll just do what
KC
did. Oh,
yeah, no, I mean, it's impossible to put Cincy in that category.
Because they didn't pay two receivers. They let Tyreek walk.
Yeah, I saw the stat that they have like 39% of the cap tied up in quarterbacks and wide receivers is the highest in the NFL.
Highest in the NFL on the offensive side.
Yeah. I mean.
Nobody's doing it like that. So you have to get stops at some point. Heck, it's been the story of Memphis football. At some point, you got to get stops.
Yep, I agree.
You can't be perfect. It has to be perfect.
Well,
that's what we always
operated on the assumption that T. Higgins would be somewhere else.
Yes,
because they couldn't pay him.
But Joe said pay him,
right,
or else he kind of did, and that's what they decided to do.
Well, okay,
it's not built anywhere else
And now you have to score 40 a game, and if you know, you might not even win if you do that.
The thing about Philly is they paid both, but they got Devontae early on there, so they didn't pay top dollar. They didn't wait.
Right.
And wait, like, since he waited with T. Higgins.
Well, and Philly drafted better.
Whole friend. They did.
I mean, they drafted Cooper DeJean.
Philly drafted way better. Their rookies perform more like KC's, where all the other pieces are. Yes.
They drafted better. Jalen Carter. And they haven't had to pay those guys yet. That's another thing. Those are all rookie deals.
Well, that's how you can pay the other guys right now.
I mean,
it's probably all come
that's
back,
pretty elite defensive
they'll,
drafting.
They'll keep going back to drafting defensively and keep Jalen, the two receivers, Saquon.
Maybe
you have to pick one of those defenders that you do pay.
Yeah, they'll have to
pay. Because KC had to pay one.
I mean, obviously, Jalen Carter you pay.
You need an anchor. Yes. Jalen seems like
an anchor. And my guess is they'll probably pay Cooper DeJean over Quinyon Mitchell. But, you know, we got a lot of time for they have to make that decision. But they put themselves in a great spot because they drafted, like, the Bengals have not drafted anywhere near that well defensively. Like, they haven't drafted anybody defensively, it feels like. So, that's a big problem for them. And, but the Commanders, I mean, if they can see the Bengals every week, they ain't taking no steps back. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. And then the other two teams, the Colts, which they were 8-9 last year. They just named Daniel Jones a starter. I get it. And then finally, a team we've talked about a lot, the Detroit Lions. They were 7-2 in games cited by 7 or fewer. They have the second toughest schedule in the NFL.
Difficult.
And by the way, they lost both coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said. All right, we'll come back. Brevin Murphy's going to join us on the other side from On3. We'll talk college football with him, some Memphis, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Brett McMurphy is college football insider with On3 Sports. I got the privilege to hang out with him a little bit in Vegas last week, and I said, Brett, you got to come on the show next week, and I'm not letting you leave Vegas before you commit. Mm. And he said, fine, man, damn. And he's nice enough to join us now. Brett, what's happening, man? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, good to talk to you again. I don't remember anything I said in Vegas, so I'll just touch on that. But great to catch up, man.
No, it was like I told people in Memphis, you did promise that Memphis would be getting the Big 12 within the next 6 months. But I guess that was maybe under the influence, perhaps, there in Las Vegas. I don't know.
Well, you do get free drinks if you gamble enough. So I don't recall that conversation, actually. But if you said it, then I said it.
Well, you know, it was a little bit of a gamble, I guess, that Memphis took. And we haven't actually talked to you since that happened. So I do just kind of want to get your perspective, and maybe you could share for our audience here. I feel like this is probably the seventh time we've had you on asking about the Big 12. But Memphis makes this godfather offer with you know, big figures in terms of sponsorships and money and all those things to the Big 12. And they're ultimately told thanks, but no thanks. It didn't even come to a vote. So how do you square all that? How did it go down? And just give us what you know about that entire situation.
Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of people are like comparing it to the ACC and SMU. Like SMU and even Cal and Stanford, to some extent, were able to financially get their way into that league. And I don't dispute that. But the difference is the ACC had to add additional teams. There was a very real threat that Florida State and or Clemson would be getting out of the league sooner rather than later. Now, obviously, now we know what the new exit fees are for the league. And, yeah, they're going to have – tremendous amount of turnover in the next 4 or 5 years. But they had to get more bodies, if you will. And also they had a clause in their ESPN contract where if they added additional members, the conference would receive the same amount of money per school. So the slice of the pie would not get smaller by adding additional schools. That is not the case with the Big 12. And so if the Big 12 brought in Memphis, even with the $250 million, you know, sponsorship deal or, you know, whatever, however you want to add it up, then they would have to find another school to bring in. And is that school going to agree to that same financial agreement? Can they afford to do that financial agreement? And also, the Big 12 isn't going to lose anybody anytime soon. And look, I'm an Oklahoma State grad, and I'll be the first to say it. The Big 12 is actually in a position of strength, and it's for one simple reason. Nobody, no other conference wants any of our schools. I mean, SEC got Oklahoma and Texas. Those were the only two that had any real value. So for better or for worse, the Big 12 is kind of like the conference of misfit toys. They kind of all stick together because they have nowhere else to go. And so there's really no urgency to add another school as far as the Big 12 is concerned. I, this is total speculation on my part. I'm not reporting this. I don't have any inside info. But if I'm the Big 12, I'm looking at the landscape of college athletics. And I know in, you know, like I mentioned, 4 or 5 years, the ACC is going to splinter, implode, use whatever adjective you want. And there could be some opportunities to get some current ACC schools perhaps to the Big 12. And so, I'm again, total speculation, I would think the Big 12 would want to wait and see what happens with those as opposed to just jumping the gun and saying taking Memphis right now because, again, there's no urgency to do that. And then also in 4 or 5 years, we don't know what college athletics is going to look like. I mean, heck, it may be the SEC and the Big Ten and nobody else exists. The SEC and Big Ten could go up to 20 schools. How does that impact everybody? And so I think that's basically a long-winded answer to the Big 12 didn't really need Memphis. And look, I've been honest with you when you've had me on. I was, you know, told you this in Vegas, and I'll say it on the air. You know, when the Big 12 did their whole song and dance with, you know, basically every school under the sun back when Bowlesby was commissioner, And I reported that Memphis did not even make the final cut of what was it, 8 or 10 or 12 schools or whatever. You know, you guys had the university president and everybody else, you know, basically saying that my report was inaccurate. I was fully, you know, what and all that stuff. Well, sorry, but that was the truth. So for whatever reason, Memphis does not have what the Big 12 desires. I'm not saying that makes Memphis a poor choice or the Big 12 is dumb in this whole thing. I'm just saying for whatever reason in the past, the Big 12 has not been attracted to Memphis. Will that change down the road? Anything's possible. But that basically kind of summarizes kind of what's happened in the past. What, as much as I know with what went on with the $250 million offer, and maybe kind of a little peek ahead to the future.
I think knowing now your sort of history, and I'm speaking of Memphis, not you, the history that you've got, and to your point, what you reported was right, that Memphis wasn't even in line then. If you are Bill Hargrave, the president now, and you're meeting for 14 months with them, right? At least that was the report, that you're doing your due diligence and you're meeting with those presidents and you're trying to see. But you know your history. They haven't needed you. Frankly, they don't care for you. You'd think a smart guy like Hargrave, right, could figure it out in 14 months. So I'm what I'm getting to, Brett, I think is where we're all at. We haven't been able to ask Memphis this side of it, is why make the offer, right, knowing the history, unless you're feeling like, no, you know what? We're getting some traction here. This feels different because whether it's Hargrave or it's Ed Scott, those guys are smart men. They know the history. They know the Big 12. Hell, they might just wait on, as you said, the ACC to blow up. Why make the offer unless you thought you were a little bit further down the road? That's the part I'm still trying to understand, Brett.
Again, you know, I haven't asked people that I trust that specific question.
Yep.
But just knowing how this stuff works, and for lack of a better analogy, I'll give you a bad analogy. It's kind of like, you know, you want to ask your girl for the prom, and she kind of just doesn't really say yes, but she doesn't say no, and you keep, you know, keeps building up, and then finally, like, can you go to the prom? And she's like, I don't think so. So, you know, again, bad analogy, but, you know, obviously Memphis is not going to continue to work on this and deal with it if they were told, no, right, you have no chance by the Big 12. I mean, that's obvious. Right. So the Big 12 didn't tell them no until it got to the point where, you know, the news started to get out, and then, you know, a decision had to be made by the Big 12 one way or the other. And then I do think, obviously if you talk that long, certainly the Big 12 is listening. But just because they're listening doesn't automatically mean they're going to add somebody.
No, clearly.
But I think one of the challenges for Memphis for this, which are different from last time when they did the whole song and dance and then ultimately didn't invite anybody, is that they would have to bring in another school. And if they were okay with Memphis, there's really no one else out there that they could have brought along.
I get that.
There's a million schools, not anyone that they really would want. So, you know, I'm sure that hurt Memphis's chances too, because you need a dance partner. And all the other options smelled like bad fish.
Yeah. Talking to Brett Murphy from On Three, nice enough to join us here. I'm not going to hold you to the stake about Memphis much longer. Just one more here. What, if anything, could they do that they control? Like, if you could just sort of pin it down to one thing, like, what does Memphis absolutely have to do? Is there anything? Is there anything that they can do that would make them more attractive to somebody else?
There really isn't, because again, I think everybody is looking at, whether it's a Big 12, whether it's the ACC, Big 10, SEC, all those schools, all those conferences, everyone's waiting for the TV deals to expire in 5 or 6 years. And then we're going to see massive conference realignment merry-go-round again. So in the short term, the only thing that Memphis can do to make themselves better, and I'm being sarcastic, but I'm being honest, is over the next 4 years, basically win every freaking game. Because the more games you win, the better you are, the more attractive you are as a potential member. So certainly, one very good example, which will, Memphis fans can remember is, I used to cover USF for the Tampa Tribune, and when the ACC was going through their realignment, they needed a football program, and they needed one that was successful. Well, USF was going through a rough stretch there. They had been good. They got up to number two in the country, but they had fallen off a cliff and they were doing horrible. Well, guess who was the hot team? Louisville. They had gone to the Sugar Bowl with Charlie Strong. They had done all this stuff. The basketball program was coming back. And UConn, on the flip side, their football program had gone in the tank. Louisville got the invite because the ACC needed the best football program at that time after they lost Pitt and Syracuse. So the only thing I really think Memphis can do is continue to build and grow and all that stuff as a university, which is obvious. But the only other thing is to make their football program as attractive as possible. How do you do that? You win the American. You go to the college football playoff. You have continued success on the football field. When you go play SEC teams like Arkansas and Ole Miss, et cetera, you beat those guys. Like you beat Florida State, but unfortunately for Memphis, the year you beat Florida State, everybody beat them. So I don't know what that's worth. But that's basically it, John. They just got to win, and win, and get so good that you can't not take them. I mean, how did Cincinnati get in?
It was perfect timing.
Because of what they accomplished, yep. Perfect timing. They got hot at the right time. They got in the college football playoff.
Yep.
UCF had a nice run. That's how they got in. BYU in Houston, BYU is more of a national brand. I think that's what got them in. And Houston's in the state of Texas. I think that's what got them in. But they were in a New Year's Six game, which obviously Memphis has done that too. But really, moving forward, whether it's the ACC or Big 12 membership that Memphis is trying to get into, the more success, it's simple, but the more successful the Tigers are in the coming years. No one cares about what happened last year. Not even, forget about 5 years ago. No one cares about last year, for that matter. But what they can accomplish over these next 3 or 4 years, I think can greatly enhance their chances. And on the flip side, it may even hurt them. But look, if you guys want to invite to the Pac-12, I'm sure they're probably talking right now, begging you guys to come on board. But I don't think that makes sense. You make more money in the American. It's a much better league. But to get in one of the power leagues, win these next few years, take no prisoners, and then force somebody to take you because of how well you've done.
Do you think Ryan Sommerfeld's a guy that can do that for him, Brett? That's the one part. You mentioned losing a beaten Florida State in a year that they're bad, so it doesn't help you. The other unfortunate part about last year was you couldn't get stops against UTSA and Navy in a year you're picked to win the conference. You don't. And so it's been 5 years, and to a point, there's investment now that looks like it's past maybe even the level of Boise State and Tulane, and you still don't have the conference championship. So is it just a matter of, hey, one of these years it'll come around for you, or is it a deal where Ryan's got to be better?
Well, I think, I don't want to just put it on Ryan, but, certainly, I mean, you're picked again. I didn't see the American poll, but in most of the preseason projections, I see you or Tulane picked to win the American. So, at some point, you've got to win the league. I mean, but on the flip side, you've had double-digit wins the last 2 years, but still you need to take advantage and you need to win the American. You need to win the American, more than 1 year. And I think certainly that will help. You know, Ryan's been there 5 years. You know, we'll see. It looks like, you know, again, I'm 10,000 miles away in Tampa, Florida, so I'm not going to pretend I know the ins and outs of Memphis's football program. But it certainly looks like there is a, you know, trend upwards there. But, you know, again, I know the feeling because when I was at USF would have some very good seasons like Memphis, but they never won the conference championship, and that was a big sticking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, we found out, I went on my homework assignment, and I found out that the hot fudge pies that you so fondly remember came from Westies.
Love that place.
You got to get back. You got to get back, man. That's, you know, so you can.
I need an NIL deal with Westies, man. I'll promote them. I'll put that on my tombstone. Best hot fudge pie in America.
That's an interesting angle that I'm sure companies have not explored yet. Space on the tombstone. It lasts forever. It's there forever, I think. So
I'm always ahead of the curve. You know me.
That's right, Brett. You're the best, man. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, you got it, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir. This is Brett Murphy from On Three Sports. Just started there about a week or two ago. So we were talking about, you know, it's just amazing how long he's been around the game and doing it, you know.
On Three's got an absolute stud legend in him.
Yeah. And I also learned he does not have an agent.
Wow.
He was doing all of that negotiating and pursuing on his own, which, you know, guys like who get there usually – like have somebody, you know, but he does not. He never has. He told me, he was like, I can have these conversations myself. Why do I need to split any of that with an agent? Which is one way to do it, you know. He also said he's like, he knows the people at all these companies, so he can just go directly to them. That will help.
Well,
you
that
know,
helps.
You know, you can just go right to, you can cut out the middleman. But great guy. Appreciate and, you know, keeps it a buck about Memphis. You know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. One thing that, like, He doesn't really seem to sort of be thinking about. And I don't mean this in a bad way because he's a football guy. But like the basketball part of it, you know, that I think that has to come into the conversation about conference. But you know, if you don't have an invite, you can't go anywhere. So waiting on that, he could not deliver that for us today.
No.
All right, we'll come back, wrap this up here on a Tuesday. Stick around, Jason and John, Artie, China Fam.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
ESPN. Snack time was already a thing. Well, Sonic has just made it official with Dollar Snacky Hour. Anybody that visits Sonic during Snacky Hour will get dollar corn dogs. Can you get down with dollar corn dogs, Jason?
Yes.
How about dollar mozz sticks?
All day.
How about dollar soft pretzel twists?
Easy.
I mean, it's just...
mustard on them things.
Get over to Sonic. They got drink rewards in the app. Make sure to download the app for the best deals. 2 to 5 p.m. every day. That's actually 3 hours. We're just going to call it an hour. I mean, you got no excuse. Live free. Eat Sonic.
Yep, they've got all the choices, and as John said, they make it super affordable. Got a pickle thing, too. You got a pickle fetish? They got pickle seasoning on their tots as well, and you can try the new Pickle Rita Slush. Yeah, it's good. You got to try it, though. Try something new. It's filled with pickle-flavored bubbles. Give it a shot. Welcome to the deep pickle-verse. That's how Sonic likes to get down. Live free. Eat Sonic.
That's really well done, man.
We're contractually obligated to say the word snacky. And I just want to say that John does it oh so well.
I love saying today, although I don't think we're contractually obligated to talk about a pickle fetish. I think that was...
We're deep into the pickle verse.
That was Ed. You can see... edited for the deep pickle verse. We're getting deep with that fetish.
I can handle it all, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you got
to... You're not going to throw me off.
It is kind of... It got more salacious as the read went on, I got to say. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was at a WNBA game. You about to throw a pickle at me. From the stands, bro. Anyway, thanks to Thanks to Brevin Murphy for joining us on the show today. Yeah, we were just talking about the finalization of that October 28th exhibition between MIPS and Arkansas. You don't get a lot of time to enjoy it because you got an exhibition 2 days later. So their two exhibitions are 2 days apart.
I do not remember that being the case last year. It definitely wasn't. North Carolina and Alabama, there was some time in between.
Yeah, because you'd like to be able to like take maybe some things that you saw from that game and say, hey, let's work on this for the next one.
That and be healthy for both, right? In just case you got nicked up in one of them or had an ankle turned or something like that, you've got some time in between.
Yes.
And so all of that, yeah, from that standpoint. But I suppose, you know, Cal's made this, and if TV is going to be a part of it, that, you know, that throws off some of the previous thinking that maybe, okay, well, we'd love to have them ideally spread apart.
Yep.
Now you want ESPN involved. Well, they've only got certain dates, and you've already got a date with Auburn.
That's right.
What? That's over in Atlanta at State Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's all locked in. So, yeah, it's got to be maybe a little different this year. You make the adjustments. You'll do that in this case. Because, again, the bigger payoff, if you can make this St. Jude thing big, you know, could be a regular season payoff in future years of having this as part of a tournament.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting day. Thanks to Brevin Murphy for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Willie Kemp for joining us on the show. And thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Very busy day on the show today. Jeffrey and Company are up next. You are not going to want to miss that. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.